This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron Norris with the Norris Group. This week on the radio show, we've got John Bohannon with BuildZig. John took his first interest in shop class for the construction industry at large in elementary school and has turned it into a career. He's the director of business development at BuildZig, a funds control firm that's been in the industry since 1936. And John is a licensed general contractor, certified construction inspector, registered home inspector, and a certified review appraiser. That's a lot of skill sets in the construction industry. So, John, how long have you actually been in the construction industry?
Well, pretty much all my life. Even in high school, I was working summers in construction to make extra money, and in college as well. And then right after college, I went right into development services. And then shortly after that, bought the company called Builders Control at the time that eventually became BuildZig.
Okay. And, you know, we might as well cover it now because BuildZig is a little bit more than just funds control, which we're going to get into, but you actually do your own projects as well. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. We are very active in our corporate office area, the Bay Area, mostly the East Bay, but we do San Francisco, and we're opening a new office in the North Bay to help the fire victims up there at Santa Rosa and Napa. We are very much interested in underutilized properties that the adaptive reuse has become our specialty. For example, an old mansion sat abandoned for years in the Oakland Hills. We took that. It probably sat empty for a long time because it had some historic qualifications. So there was you couldn't rip it down. You couldn't change the facade too much. We were able to find a way to turn that and preserve the historical qualities into 16-unit live-work loft, and we did very well on that. And those are some of the projects we use, just taking underutilized properties and creating value.
Is it unusual for a funds control company to also be developing their own projects?
Well, I'm not aware of any others.
I see it as a huge asset, so you sort of feel the pain.
Well, that's exactly right. There is nothing like actually building and having current pricing, current contract concerns, changes in mechanic lien law, and being actively involved in the day-to-day building, I think makes you a better funds control company.
Certainly,
for sure.
Certainly more in tune with the process. Now, is BuildZig only in the state of California?
No, we are nationwide.
And that's a lot of different rules and regs to follow. I mean, construction in Northern California alone, depending on what city you're in, is a whole new ball of wax, let alone a historic property. So that's pretty impressive.
That is true. I would say, as far as California, it seems to always be the leading edge of new changes in law. So being here puts us in a good position to see what the trends are in law.
Because it's probably happening with you first, and you're the case study.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, let's back up a little bit, because some people who aren't in the construction field or maybe doing massive renovations here, at least in California, might not know what funds control is. And so is the proper pronunciation first, is it plural, funds control?
Yeah, funds control. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. And so what is funds control?
So funds control is a way to do incremental financing for construction loans. And what that really is we have to trace our heritage back to the Great Depression. Right after the Great Depression, construction lenders were unwilling to take the risk of doing construction loans. And that in part was before the Great Depression. A lot of banks said, how much money do you need to go build that house? $100,000? Here you go. Go build it. So it wasn't a highly regulated loan. After the Great Depression, you know, obviously banks were feeling very uncomfortable just giving away money for an asset that hasn't reached its full value. And so this idea of incremental financing popped up through a joint venture with an insurance agent named Anderson and a small little Italian bank called Bank of America out of L.A. in 1936. And the idea was we are going to go ahead and commit to that $100,000 loan so you can go build that house. But we are only going to release the funds as you increase the value of the property by improving it. So we have a loan commitment. You have to go out there and pour the foundation. Then the bank would, in this case, the funds control company, Builders Control, would go out, verify that the foundation is done. Then the bank would release those funds. And the idea is you're releasing money commensurate to the improvement value of the property. So you're never getting the money ahead of increased value. Project's finished, the last dollars are released. Your loan of, say, 65% loan to value is now 65% loan to value. You haven't gone underwater. So that is the idea of funds control.
It makes a lot of sense, and I don't think some people will appreciate after the downturn in SB 978, it actually here in California became law, at least for us regulated by the Bureau of Real Estate. So any rehab or flip that's over $100,000 in repairs, we are forced to engage a fund control, or if it's a ground up construction. So it's actually part of what we have to do now.
Well, I liken it back to Sarbanes-Oxley after the dot-com bomb. It's kind of like an atomic bomb to kill a mouse. SB 978 was created, and the California legislator, in their infinite wisdom, decided that all hard money lenders or private money investors doing deed of trust were actually to blame for the Great Recession. So we had this new law. And there's some merit to it. I don't want to discredit it too much, but basically what it says, if your construction loan is over $100,000 in improvement, that you have to fully fund that loan up front, the full amount. You have to put it with an independent third party, someone different than the arranging broker or the investor that put the money into the deed of trust investment, and that qualified inspection have to be performed to verify the amount of money being released is commensurate with the work being done on site, which is exactly funds control. Mm-hmm. So we didn't write the law. Of course, we support it fully.
Of course.
We think it's a great idea. But here's some of the reasons why. The why is so many builders had a construction loan before 08, and they were building. And then all of a sudden, they go for a draw request to their construction lender, and the lender says, I don't have that money. And I can't find a single investor to put any money in, even though we've committed to your full loan amount. And so what happens next? You get mechanics liens on the job site. Properties get into a big legal battle. No one gets paid. Mm. No one wants to touch the property. So from that standpoint, SB 978 solved that little riddle, saying, look, if you're going to make a financial commitment to $1 million construction loan, we want you to raise $1 million at close of escrow. Now, the flip side is the investor is going to love this, right? That from day one, they put up all the money and they can charge interest on the full amount. Now, that may upset a borrower, but if you're that same contractor, you have a great sense of confidence that the money is there and you can move forward on your project without hesitation that your next draw request won't be funded. So it's a balancing act. No law is perfect. I think they got it pretty good here. And again, that applies for trustee investments. People have tried to get around that by filing for a CFL license, which is like a fund pool. Mm-hmm. Which is not required to call SB 978, but the same risk can apply to a builder. And I mean, they've committed to an amount, they still have to raise that amount, and they may not have it on hand the day you submit your draw request. So there is a risk.
Got it. Yeah, we do get complaints about that with new construction. And it's local banks are starting to fund these too, but I think I don't know if they're funding it a different way as a line of credit instead of actually it being a loan. But, you know, even before funds control was required, we were doing something very similar, but we were doing it in-house. So let's talk a little bit about the process, because it's not just about holding the funds in third party, which, by the way, I never thought about the other angle about when you're facing a downturn and then somebody financially committed to you, but then they don't have the money. This makes sure all parties are whole from the beginning and the money's actually there. I hadn't thought about that. So, but let's talk about the actual process of the other skill sets. I mean, you obviously come to the table with a ton of different skills. So it's not necessarily just, hey, the money's sitting in an escrow account. When somebody's going out to do the inspection, what are the inspector's skill sets? And do you also get the benefit of their experience knowing what they're looking at?
Well, the number one goal is to make sure that the work being requested is actually done. And herein lies the difficulty. If a builder submits a draw request for the foundation, and we go out there and we see that a foundation is poured, mm-hmm. we're going to take pictures of the foundation, and we're going to say foundation is poured. Mm-hmm. That makes sense, right? Now, underneath that, did they do compaction correctly? Did they use a vapor barrier? Did they use the right number of rebar? Is the concrete mix the right PSI level that the engineer specified? All of that duty and responsibility lies with the building department, our special inspectors. So we have lenders that usually are very experienced lenders like yourself that say, please take a picture of the job card if it's on site. And the reason we do that is we want to verify through the building inspector signing off on the permit, our job card, and the changes, vocabulary changes, depending on which city you're in. But they sign off saying it is to plan and specification.
Perfect.
We can't say that because we weren't there to verify all those things that were underneath the concrete. So a lot of people get a misconception or sensitive. That because our inspectors are going out there to verify work is done, that it is being done according to plan and specification. That is not the case. That is the duty and responsibility of the building inspector. We can minimize that by taking photographs of those job cards and making sure that they have the appropriate government sign-off.
Excellent. And then on the other side, there's something called a date down. Can you describe what that is?
Yes. I highly recommend date down. Relatively newer. This comes from the title side of things. So if you have a title company and you're a construction lender and you want to insure your $1 billion construction loan, in the old days, the title company would just say, we'll insure you for $1 million. And there you go. Well, now the title companies got burned in 08 as well. And So now, basically, they're saying, we'll insure you up to $1 million, but we're going to do progressive date counts during construction. So every time that there's a draw request, you would also submit it to the title company. What they're going to do there is they're going to run a title check. And this is actually a very good risk management tool, because at that point in time, they can look to see, are there any preliminary notices filed? Are there any mechanics lien on the property? Is there a tax lien on the property? Have the property taxes been paid? So title companies are insuring their risk by doing incremental insurance coverage. But I think lenders and investors and the borrower, really, even though they say they don't need it, are getting extra protection, because it's just a check-in every time money's released that title has no clouds on it. It's still clean and things are moving forward correctly.
And if for some reason something does show up later, you've got proof along the way that you did what you needed to do and at the time there wasn't. So that makes sure that the title insurance is covering you, correct?
Well, correct. And even more to extrapolate on that, the idea of mechanics lien law was to protect contractors from unjust enrichment, meaning if you help improve a property, the property owner doesn't pay you, that's unfair. You've benefited from the improvement. You haven't paid the guy, so they can file a mechanics lien, which is a cloud on title, just like a tax lien. And basically, there's a priority. So in a normal world, you have your construction lender with a first deed of trust and their first position on title. They have priority number one. And then anything that comes after that is below them in priority. So if you get a mechanic's lien 5 months into the job, you know, you're still priority. Mm. You know, the mechanic's lien can't wipe out the lender. What happens that's interesting is that it's a progressive situation. So when jobs start falling apart, you know, the experienced contractors sometimes are the fastest to file mechanic's lien because they want to be on top of the list in priority. Mm. And so so when you think about these big construction companies that don't have the cash flow constraint for the small builder, and they're always the first to file the mechanic's lien, that's why they know better. And so I used to think, how rude, they can handle this, but in reality, they have experience and they know better.
Now, does a inspection involve checking to make sure that vendors were paid?
Well, yes. Well, I mean, the funds control process ensures that.
Okay.
But the inspection doesn't necessarily do that. The other part, we've covered holding the funds in a joint control escrow account, which is what we're licensed as under the DBO. But we're holding funds, we're doing site inspections to verify work. Then the other part of it that's probably very important, I'm going to say, well, maybe the most important part, is that we are collecting invoices and lien releases every single draw to make sure vendors are getting paid, that lien releases are getting collected. And I'll talk through a regular process, and we'll go back to the foundation example as we've been using. You know, foundation is poured, we go out, we verify the foundation is done, we receive an invoice from the foundation subcontractor, and it's for the number $20,000, and it's an invoice, attaches a conditional lien release saying, once you pay me this, you know, I'll release all my mechanics lien rights unpaid in full. Well, that's good. But what during that time, if there was a preliminary notice filed by the rebar supplier, another one filed by the concrete company that supplied the concrete mix, well, we want to make sure they're paid too.
Yeah.
So now when we get this invoice, we ask the question, all right, very good. We'll pay this, but where's your lien releases from the material suppliers? So that's part of the funds control process that we do. We want to make sure that everybody that does work on the property, our supplies materials on the property, is getting paid.
And I've, you know, been witness to firsthand, you've got a general contractor who, you know, subs out some work, and that sub doesn't pay, for instance, the cement supplier, and it pops up later, and it can be a really big number, and it could catch you off guard. So that would be pretty important. One of the biggest complaints I hear right now for investors is, and I've had this happen firsthand, is finding qualified labor to do some of these jobs, especially when you're talking about repairs or new construction, you know, in the big dollar amount. I see this as an added insurance policy for substandard work as well. So not only is it a permitted process, you've got more pictures along the way and an extra set of eyeballs who is used to looking at projects.
Also, you know, we are an insurance policy for the lender as well. Problems happen, and then a year later, you're trying to describe what happened, whether it's in a deposition or if it went that far or just a general sit down with your investor. So the question is to the investor. The investor asks, you know, let's say it's you, even though that would never happen because you run a good shop. Hey, why'd you release that money? That doesn't make any sense. Well, that's after the fact. But if you pull up a picture that says, well, here's a picture of the foundation, so we released the money for the foundation, that's your insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it works for the borrower, for the contractor, and for the lender through the whole construction process.
So what's the process? I mean, I know we're going to have to break this up. We've got about a little less than 4 minutes left. So So somebody comes to the Norris Group for a construction project, and the way that we happen to do our construction loans is that you need to own the land free and clear and have the permits and plans drawn. And one of the reasons that we do that is we have a 1-year term, and you would probably appreciate that, you know, unless you have the plans and the permits, that's just not real. And that process, depending on what city you're living in, could take years. So we really only want to be involved in the construction phase, and you can catch up on land value as the construction funds are being released. That's how we accomplish that. But so they come to us, they fill out a loan application, and we say, hey, you know what, this going to qualify you for funds control. So we engage BuildZig. So talk about the process from the borrower perspective and how much control they have when putting together the process, the number of releases, things like that.
Well, we start off with usually with the lender and provide an intake form that the lender probably sends to the borrower. And it asks for a general description of the work, their line item budget, that's how they want it, and the number of draw requests that they think they will require for the loan. And then we take that form back and we provide a custom per draw quote. And the reason we do that, which is probably, as far as I know, different than any other funds control company, in the old days, it was just a percentage. Of the construction holdback amount. So if it's $1 million loan, you know, they would charge half a point. So $10,000. And then that presumably would cover the funds control fee. The problem with that is it's unfair because good builders that generally have the higher construction load, they're not cash strapped. They don't have cash flow issues. Generally speaking, they don't need to do a draw every week like the rehab lenders or builders. Mm-hmm. So rehab loan for $30,000 is a lot more work than that $1 million loan. So if you're an experienced builder and you're going to do one draw a month and you're going to do six draws over the course of a month, it's unfair to charge you just a flat percentage and say, you know, tough. So if you're experienced, you're going to benefit from our pricing model, which helps encourage better builders. So we're okay with that. And basically, you know, it's going to be a fee. Usually it's a small setup fee of $500 and then per draw fee. And that draw fee would include the site inspection, would include reviewing the lien releases and invoices and creating this draw package that we then send to the lender for final approval of the draw amount. So that's our process. As far as usually the borrower, then, you know, once we're in contract, in our world, we don't believe it, the borrower and the contractor live in isolation. So our contract is it's between us, the borrower, the contractor, and the lender. That's our contract. And basically, we say, look, contractor, I bet you don't want any money being released from your budget without you knowing. And the borrower says, I don't want the contractor to take any money from that budget without me knowing.
So everybody's notified.
Right. And the lender's the final approval of the draw request. So basically, we're all in this together. We don't want money being released in isolation from any other party. So a draw request is, we have an online system. You punch in the draw request amount, and then you sign it via DocuSign. And if the contractor submits the draw, then it goes to the borrower, and he has to sign it through DocuSign before we send it off to the lender for approval. So, and that could be in reverse, too. If the contractor submits it for approval, then we could send it to the borrower. But we've moved all to online starting this year, actually, to try to help improve the process and transparency, because I'm sure you've heard this before. You know, an angry borrower calls up our contractor saying, I submitted a draw a week ago and I don't have my money yet. It turns out they just did it yesterday. our system, you know, you put it in, everyone gets notified. We're all working on this together. We need to verify invoices, lien releases, do a site inspection. It's not going to be one day, but we're gonna expedite it as quickly as possible. And if your draw request is complete with all the invoices and lien releases, it will be faster. If you give us heads up on an inspection time, it will be faster. But our average takes 3 to 5 days to turn around a draw request.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.